What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How you doing, everybody? I know you got a million options out there for podcasts, and so I appreciate the fact that you're listening to this and sharing it with your friends and family. We're growing. It's crazy. People are listening all over the world, and I'm really excited about that. I'm flattered. I'm humbled. I'm all those things. But point is, this is the problems that we're facing right now. The things that are on our radar are global in nature. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but unfortunately, the direction that we're headed, I think anybody with their eyes open would acknowledge that we're headed the wrong way. It's not our fault necessarily. We're not doing this, of course. They're doing it to us, but you know, we have a shared responsibility in this. It's not to say that we're without some blame for allowing these maniacs and psychopaths to lead us down these paths that are not in our best interest. And if 2020 has really taught us anything, it's that the vast majority of people on this planet are blissfully ignorant to what's happening. They are asleep. They are sheep-like. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it or anything, but that is just that's just the way it is. But that doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. I remember back to 9/11 and when that we had that event and that, you know, it was so in your face, but I didn't know what was going on when it happened. I didn't have a clue. I was a sheep. I was blissfully ignorant. I was asleep at the wheel. I was all those things that I see out there right now. So I'm not directing my anger at the sheep necessarily, because I was one. I hadn't figured out that people were conspiring against us and that there was a gigantic plan. That sounds crazy, right? This is nuts. How could there be a gigantic plan against all? I mean, how could everybody be involved? How could everybody fake the moon landing? Right? I mean, it would take 300,000 people to fake. Look, these are the lies we tell ourselves to not, to not take any responsibility. The fact is, there are massive conspiracies happening. I've said it many times. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. The time for theorizing about these things is gone. I mean, and to be fair, there's a lot of bullshit conspiracy theories out there. There's stuff that's garbage, straight up garbage. There's stuff that's interesting to speculate about, like, God, what if there is an inner earth? That'd be fucking crazy. Or what if the earth is flat? It's probably not. But what if we all just got really high and thought about if the Earth was flat for like a night? It's just an interesting thought experiment. So we've got fake conspiracies and we've got real ones. We don't need to drag in the fake ones into this world because there's more than enough on our plate to work with. And what I want to do in this episode is talk about where we're going. And I take no pleasure in my analysis of where we're going, because where we're going, if we take our hands off the steering wheel and let the government drive, where we are going is the end of humanity as we know it. Now, I know that sounds like a bold statement and a big comment and, you know, hyperbole, but I'm going to lay out their plan. I'm going to talk about the different components of this that are very real and are happening right this minute. We don't have to say, well, I wonder what it'll be like in 50 years. No, no. We can look at what's happening today and extrapolate where we're going just on one of the threads. But when you take a dozen of them and put them together, it paints this very disturbing picture of where humanity is headed. But I will say this, because I don't want this to be super negative, and I don't want people, you know, jumping off the roof or anything like that. And as a sports fan, I have to sort of put this in context, and I apologize in advance if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. But like in that Super Bowl where the Patriots were playing the Falcons, they were dead. It was over. Statistically, an impossibility to come back from. And somehow they turned it around. And the reason why I say that is because it's not over for us yet. There's still time to get ourselves out of this. But we are running. We've got to go to the hurry up offense, if we want to put this in football terms. Like, the clock is ticking. We're down by a lot. It's the fourth quarter. We need to get our act together and start making things happen. So I'm going to lay this out in as logical of a way as I can. And once again, I'm not trying to scare everybody. There's a difference between I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to paint this picture. The picture is scary, but, you know, if we get ourselves together, if we have these difficult conversations, if we start thinking about these things and talking to our friends and family and get these topics sort of known into the general consciousness, then we have the ability to turn this around. There are more of us, vastly more of us, than there are of these maniacs trying to run the world. But let's talk about what they have in store for us. So let's start with a concept that a lot of people already are either familiar with or have at least heard it, and that's Agenda 21 / Agenda 2030. This is the United Nations that has, in conjunction with their partners, they are pushing for this new world order. Now, the new world order is not my term for it. It's not the conspiracy world's term for it. It's their word for it. It's how they refer to themselves. You can pull up a million videos of George H.W. Bush talking about the New World Order. You can hear even that, you know, Beetlejuice talking about in Chicago saying that we've got to pledge our allegiance to the New World Order. It's a thing. All right. It's not theory. They're pushing a blueprint for globalization, basically. The United Nations, it was started by David Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, and David Rockefeller in particular. And he was very instrumental in opening up the door to China back during the Nixon-Kissinger years. David Rockefeller with Chase Bank was deeply involved in that. And that sort of started the concept of the globalization. So China was kind of walled off society. It was not, you know, it was not really doing a whole lot of international business, at least not to the extent that it is now. But the Rockefellers helped to open that door and started this process of globalization and followed, you know, But in, during the Clinton administration, by NAFTA and GATT and WTO, these trade agreements, that these shitty trade agreements that Clinton got us into, that gutted the manufacturing capability of the United States, it outsourced everything to China, and it sounds good at the on the surface when they they're selling it, when they're in their sales mode. Oh, you're gonna get a TV for $200, or you're gonna get this and that. Your clothes would be made cheaper there. Well, of course they'll be made cheaper there. Everything will be made cheaper there because they don't have unions and they don't have regulations and they don't have, you know, the sorts of environmental EPA type restrictions and regulations that the United States has. I'm not trying to say that the United States is perfect by any means, but China just doesn't give a flying fuck about the environment or their people or whatever. I mean, there's crazy stories about, I got to tell you, just a, or sort of a side story. I had this, I've mentioned this before, that I had a couple I sold a condo to that were, the lady was from China and the guy was from the United States, but they'd both lived in China for a long, long time. And they talked about like how poor the nutrition was there and that like milk, like the actual milk that you would drink. She's like, oh yeah, you don't drink the milk in China. I was like, why? She's like, it's got plaster in it. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, you know, like when you break your arm and they put a plaster cast on it. I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, it's like all that stuff is like ground up and it's in there. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I remember she had her like niece come and stay with her in the United States for 2 months. Her niece was like 10 years old or something. And her niece gained, I think she gained like 20 pounds by being here, just by drinking like real, like actual milk and eating actual food with nutrition. She got like super big, not fat big, but just like grew. And it was, it's crazy. So China's like, China's off the rails in terms of like the things that they allow, the regulations that they, that don't exist there. And the United Nations and the Rockefellers in particular were instrumental in that. And China plays a huge role in this new world order. And the United Nations push for Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 has to do with, well, really, if you have to go back to 1992. In 1992, there was this UN conference on environment and development. They called it the Earth Summit. And it was held in Rio de Janeiro. And they had like a Greta Thunberg type there as well, who was talking about, you know, all the ice caps are going to melt and all that bullshit. There were 178 governments that were there. And they all adopted this program. They all signed off on it. And so it started, it began, you know, so that's really where things started to take off. The UN agenda for the 21st century is this plan that the elites, and I use air quotes when I refer to these people as elites, because there's nothing elite about them, but for the sake of this conversation, let's just call them the elites. They intend to carry out this over the next 30 years, well, from 92, let's just say 40 years, this push to control everything on Earth, to an inventory everything on Earth, lands, land, minerals, food, energy, water, education, information, law enforcement, human being, they want control of everything on a global level, not local, not locally. And of course, I mean, I think you can extrapolate out that this would also mean an end to individual freedoms. And this is sort of a plan to transform, well, the transform society on local, state, national levels, and then eventually globally. And so they talk about how they're going to go about doing this. They want to they use these interesting bullshit terms like a national framework for prosperity, growth, and competitiveness. you know, and protection of environmental landscapes and coastal estuaries and economic and social opportunities for all members of society and global competitive mega regions and all these things. It's all nonsense, of course, but it's part of the sales pitch. But they say Agenda 21 was the 21 in Agenda 21 is the 21st century. That's what it's referring to. And the Agenda 2030 is more specifically the year 2030. Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations system, governments, and major groups in every area in which humans impact on the environment. So, this is the so the sales pitch is that it's all about the environment. Okay? It's all about the environment. We're hurting the environment, we're destroying it. It's all about us. How dare you people destroy this planet? Now, I can get on board with that. I mean, fully. I can say we treat this planet like we've got another one to go to. And it's pretty shitty. The things that we do to our oceans and rivers and air and we need to get our act together. We have become, you know, we have become, as Agent Smith says, a virus. There's no doubt about that. Not us individually, but collectively through our actions. And those things need to change. And like any good lie, there's a bit of truth in it. So when you read the Agenda 21 Comprehensive Plan of Action, you know, that they're going to try and fix the things where humans are impacting on the environment, you go, well, okay, I can get on board with that. That sounds like a good idea. But like most things, it just depends on who's in charge of it. And the United Nations, though they name themselves the United Nations, they're only united in their globalist agenda for the elite control. They're not united with us, the commoners. They don't give a flying fuck about us, to be clear, except to the extent that we are in their way. But they plan to erase the borders and abolish all 50 states in the United States of America. And they want to go into what they call mega regions. These are massive city states that are under constant surveillance. So this is a worldwide plan. But I'm going to specify, I'm going to sort of just make it America-centric, just because I'm an American, and it's easier for me to do it that way. But just know that this isn't limited to America. But when you're making massive transformations like this, you can't do it all at once. This is the David Icke totalitarian tiptoe concept, which is you don't go from A to Z, you go from A to B and then B to C. So you make these small moves in incremental stages so that we, the people, can adjust to it slowly, you know, and to make sure that these changes stick. If they tried to, you know, if they ramped out everything all at once, we'd be like overwhelmed and it would be too totalitarian and we'd never agree to it. But, you know, like anything, it's like slow the curve, 2 weeks to slow the curve, you know, and you're like, oh, I'll stay in my house for 2 weeks. That's fine. And then 2 weeks turns into 2 months, and then 2 months turns into 2 years, and wear the mask. Oh, we're just going to wear the mask a couple weeks. And then it's, you can't go anywhere without the mask. And how dare you walk out of your house without the mask? And shit, you better be wearing your mask in your house. Do you see how this works? So this is sort of how they slowly do this. So Agenda 21, they have like the terms that they use to sell it have to appeal to a broad cross-section of people. So they use terms like low carbon emissions and halting mass extinction and inclusive and shared prosperity and gender equality and human rights for all and respect the rule of law and, you know, climate smart economies and these sorts of things that they... These are... buzzwords. These are nothing. This is just them talking. This is them selling this idea. It's very, you know, when you hear them talking about things like sustainable development and sustainable food and sustainable cities and green energy and global, you know, we're going to fix global warming and climate change, and we're going to fight, you know, illicit money flows or money laundering or whatever. We're going to help, you know, make sure that we don't have any more pandemics or global crises. Okay, great. How do we plan to do this? Well, first of all, I mean, it's just important to realize that all these things they're not actually trying to do it, but they put these things forth and can talk to people about it because it's a way to get the people to go along with the plan. And you have to have people go along with the plan. But like anything, the rules will be changed. You know, it's like that Darth Vader scene where he says, he's changed the rules. Pray I don't alter them any further. You know, it's like we're going to be like, hey, but you told us that this was going to be all sustainable and there was going to be equality and there was going to be opportunities. Well, things have changed. The world's changed. I know we said that, but things have changed. Pray they don't change anymore. But of course they will. And this is the carrot. This is the carrot to get you in. They've also got a stick, and they're not afraid to use it. So, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 is this push to transform society under the guise of protecting the environment. At its core, that's what it is. This transformation of society will be altruistic because we're talking about saving the planet. Now, if you just do 30 seconds of researching, what you will find is that groups like the United Nations and the organizations that they represent are not interested in saving the planet. In fact, they're the ones that are destroying the planet. I think the Rockefeller Foundation gives a shit about the planet. No, they do not. They've been in the petroleum industry for 150 years. And the petroleum industry has done more to destroy this planet than any other industry. Who's the largest, you know, who's some of the largest polluters? The United States military. Are they going to get a Green New Deal? I don't think so. So Agenda 21 is part of this, but it's not the only part. This is like if you picture this like a 360 degree assault on humanity. We're going to get it from every direction. And we've talked about already about the World Economic Forum. This is a component of this as well. Now, the World Economic Forum is a co-sponsor of this New World Order. I mean, they're in it. They're a huge part of it. And just to refresh people's memories, if they're unclear about the World Economic Forum, it is what is known as Davos, the Davos meeting that happens every year in Davos, Switzerland. It is a meeting that takes place between powerful industrialists, government psychopaths, banking cartels, big pharma, big tech, you know, the enemy, all the systems that are actively working against our best interests, the billionaire class, the predator class, the elite. This is who is a part of the World Economic Forum. And they are hoping for a great reset. Now, a great reset, like anything, sound good on the surface. The Great Reset has to happen because the current paradigm has so many problems with it. And we've got to get away from these problems because we have to create this better world. Now, who could deny that? I mean, it's true. Got a bunch of problems. A lot of things that we can change. A lot of things that we can do better. But once again, who is in charge of the change? The World Economic Forum? No, thank you. But part of what they're selling is, widespread social, economic, and political reform. All things that we need. Now, how you go about that reform, that's a different story. But they tipped their hand a little bit because they showed us this video that they had up. 8 predictions for the world in 2030. You'll own nothing and you've never been happier. So they envision a world where we, the serfs, don't own anything. And I think it's important to put that in terms of kings and serfs, because if you remember that from your history class that you slept through, back in the feudal times, the kings owned the land, owned the castles, owned everything, and the serfs were the slaves, indentured servants that worked the land, and they had a little bit, but just enough to keep them, it's like the monarchy. That's the system they want to go back to, because they're the ones that are in a position of power right now, and they want what all people in positions of power want. They want more. They want more power. They want more control. They want more for them. Watch a George Carlin special. You'll know when he's talking about this. And they are attempting, the World Economic Forum is attempting to accelerate these New World Order agendas by taking full advantage of the coronavirus situation. I mean, it's almost like they created it, right? Who is involved in Event 201 besides the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Johns Hopkins Medical Center? The World Economic Forum. So they're talking about this Great Reset. And the Great Reset comes after the current paradigm has been destroyed. Well, what has happened in 2020? Has it not been slated for destruction? Closing small businesses, closing medium businesses. Walmart's open because the virus doesn't go to Walmart. The virus doesn't want to get sick. That's why it doesn't go to Walmart. Just go to peopleofwalmart.com and take a look at that shit show there. But in all seriousness, no, they've destroyed small and medium businesses. They've destroyed whole industries. You own a theater chain? Good luck to you. But there's always bailouts for the people that are politically connected and things like that. Airlines got money. Airlines got kicked right in the nuts with this whole thing. But they get a bailout. They get billions and billions and billions of dollars that they don't have to give back. So they'll be okay. But if you own a local gym, you're fucked. Like, it's over. So, and of course, none of this is breaking news to anybody. If you have your eyes open, you're watching this, you're seeing what's happening. What I'm trying to say is that it's not accidental. The World Economic Forum didn't just happen to run Event 201 in October of 2019, simulating the outbreak of a coronavirus, only to have 2020 show up and a coronavirus shows up and wipes out and destroys the economies of the world, just like they predicted. And guess who it's being offered up as the solution from the ashes? The Great Reset. What a surprise. What an incredible timing of this whole thing. All right. So anybody that is awake to this, even just a little bit, it can understand that this isn't accidental. This is part of a plan. It's part of an agenda. It's part of the controlled demolition of the American Empire. It's part of the controlled demolition of the world in order to build back better. Where have I heard that before? Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to build back better. Really? First of all, you're not. Second of all, where'd you get that term? You got it from the World Economic Forum. So this is an agenda being put forth by psychopaths in positions of power in conjunction with the whores at mainstream media. And it's being fueled by this insane psychosis that people have, where they view their fear as a virtue, and their mask wearing as a symbol of their altruism, that they care about humanity and society so much that they're going to wear a mask. Hell, I'll wear two masks because I care about you so much. And how dare you not wear your mask? Are you trying to kill grandma? So it's a mind fuck. It's a psychological operation, undeniably. But the reactions of the Karens of the world is fascinating. And well, it would be more fascinating if it wasn't so frustrating. But the people have like Stockholm syndrome or something, you know, where they view their captors as like their saviors, or they the same people that scare the shit out of them on the nightly news about everything that's going on, they tune into regularly to get scared more and more. And then it becomes confirmation bias where it's like, I'm scared. Everybody's going to die. I feel like, you know, this virus is just killing everybody. I'm going to turn on CNN. Yep. Yep. I'm right. It's killing everybody. See, Wolf Blitzer just told me. Chris Cuomo told me, and Chris Cuomo wouldn't lie. I mean, he lied about having Corona, and he lied about doing dumbbell presses with 100-pound weights, and you know, he lied about all this other stuff, but I'm sure he's telling me the truth about this. And so this World Economic Forum component and the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution that they talk about, this is part of a push towards globalism. It's a intentional destruction of the current paradigm that we're living through. You see, if they had offered up the Great Reset in November of 2019, we'd be like, I don't know, sounds okay. Like sustainable cities and self-driving cars and universal basic income seems kind of weird, and I don't really know what they're doing with that, but I don't know. I'm not interested. But after they destroy, you know, a year later, they destroy the current paradigm that we've been living through, and everybody's in their house, and everybody's wearing masks, and everybody's afraid that they're going to die, and kids are having school on Zoom, and offices are closed, and malls are closed, and airports are, you know, turned into, you know, checkpoints where you can't even get on a plane without wearing your mask. And the flight attendant, I got a story for you about that. Flight attendants are all up your ass about whether or not your mask is pulled up over your nose totally the right way. Now that we are living through this insanity, they roll out this Great Reset option. Hey, look at self-driving cars. Is it going to be better than what we're currently living through? Because I don't think I can take much more of this. I've been cooped up in my house. I want to stab somebody. My job went away. I have no money. I burned through all my savings. My kids are all on edge. They haven't been able to interact. They're crying. They think that they don't know, Daddy, what's going to happen? You know, once you go through a year of that, holy shit, Great Reset. I'm interested. Tell me more. So, and of course, they know this. Like I said, it's not accidental. You have to blow up everything first and then offer the solution in order for people to take it. So these things are intertwined. But like I said, it's much deeper than that, because now we roll in the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. And they play a huge role in this because they are the prime financer of this new world order. And they are in it. They are part of this whole operation. You would have never, back to November of 2019, if they told you we're getting rid of cash, you'd be like, no, you're not. I'm still using cash. But what have they done over the last year? Coronavirus lives on cash, you know? It doesn't live on boxes that come from Amazon. It doesn't live on merchandise that's sold in Walmart, but it's all over your cash, and you're going to die from it. So we've got to get rid of cash. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they want to get rid of cash? Is it because it's dirty? No. Listen, man. Escalator handles are dirty. Cash. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. You might not want to lick it, okay? But let's be honest. It's not about health and cleanliness and anything like that. It's that they want to have the ability to track every transaction, everything you buy, everything you sell. They want to be able to make sure that you are buying the only the things that you're allowed to buy. They don't want you, you know, they'll demonize cash. Well, only terrorists and drug dealers use cash. Get the fuck out of here with that. That is such a dumb lie. My 80-year-old mother uses cash too. Is she a terrorist? Is she plotting with Al-Qaeda? I mean, stop. This is just stupid. But the IMF plans to phase out cash. It's they've created intentional cash shortages. Now, to be fair, we've been rolling towards a more of a cashless society over the last 30 years with credit cards and things like the PayPal and, you know, all of this. So, but the nail in the coffin of cash is this corona situation. They want a cashless society. They want digital currency. They want you to only be able to use, you know, like cell phone QR codes or bracelets and you know, microchips embedded in you even. You know, we've seen those. We've seen those stories where they're like, you get your, you know, I got a microchip embedded in my hand and now I just wave it at this scanner and then it deducts from my, like, this is what they want. And think of the implications of this, though. Think of the implications of all of your money is tied into a digital system. And the people that are running the digital system is the IMF and this global one world government. And you get on the wrong side of things with them, you know, like I would. And they tie it into a social credit system like China has. And everything that you buy or sell will be tracked. And if you do something wrong, they just turn off your ability to buy or sell anything. So either a couple of things are going to happen. In that scenario, you're in trouble. You're forced to go underground. You're forced to go underground into a black market where you get cash. It's like, yo, man, what you need? Like, I need some top ramen. what you got? I've got $300. Can I get some top ramen? You know what I mean? So it's going to be that. Or it's going to be a self-policing system where you know what happens if you get on the wrong side of these people. You know that your money will get shut off, so you don't do the things that you know will get your money shut off. And that's really devious. And that, of course, is where they want it to go. Tie it to a social credit system and watch your scores go down. You know, if you're buying things you're not supposed to buy. And when I say buying things you're not supposed to buy, I'm not even talking about going out and buying an 8-ball of cocaine. I'm talking about buying Fruit Loops that have a lot of sugar in it. And your doctor is your health care provider insurance is tied in and can see the things that you're purchasing. And if you buy too many boxes of Fruit Loops and Ding Dongs, your insurance policy rate goes through the roof. You know what I mean? So let's think about that too. So they're going to be controlling your behavior through this. I mean, they're already controlling your behavior, but in a 360 degree surveillance type system, which is where this is headed, there will be different forms of censorship and different forms of compliance where some of it will be forced and some of it will be self-fulfilling, where you just make decisions in your... As an example, let's think about this. I have been thrown off of Twitter before for suggesting that we throw Bill Gates in a volcano. Now, that was a joke, clearly, though I'm not opposed to it, to be fair. I am back on Twitter... at Macroaggression, by the way, if you guys want to follow me, please do, for as long as I'm there. But I now know that I can't suggest that we throw people in volcanoes or things like that, because I know that I didn't just get suspended. I didn't get put in a week of, you know, Twitter jail. I got deleted for that. A silly, sarcastic, ridiculous comment. So now I have to self-police myself before I type that, you know, and put that in there. I know that there's a possibility that I can wake up tomorrow and have my account turned off. Now, is that the biggest deal in the world? No, of course not. Twitter's for, you know, a place where I can promote the show and I can be shitty to people, or, you know what I mean? I mean, have some fun on there and do whatever. It's not the end of the world. But if that's my social credit score and I makes a comment like that and my score goes down to the point where now I can't get on an airplane and that impacts my job, we've got problems. And that, of course, is where it's going. And a component of this, what they've been selling is the fourth industrial revolution. So we've got the IMF, we've got Agenda 21, we've got the World Economic Forum, and we've got the fourth industrial revolution now. So this is another one of these wet dreams for Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum. He wrote a book where he talked about this. He talked about the fourth industrial revolution, where it's the loss of employment due to computers and robots and everything taking your job, AI, automation, transhumanism, improvements in mechanisms and things like that. You know, as these things improve, as artificial intelligence starts to take over, as you create a machine that is really efficient at flipping burgers, eventually you get to the point where there are no more jobs for people that flip burgers. And they know this. And so people will have to adapt, or they won't. But see, we have problems already with not enough jobs for people. And the introduction of artificial intelligence and robots and, you know, these sorts of things, the automation of these processes is going to result in fewer jobs for human beings. And this is what they want. Now, in order to make it so that you don't have a revolt, they are going to introduce things like universal basic income into this stream. But let's stick with the fourth industrial revolution, because where they see things going in their technology world is that people would be living in smart cities. See, it's about branding, smart cities. It's a surveillance city. But God, you know, surveillance city USA just doesn't have the sort of cachet that smart city has. You know, it just sounds a little better when you're like, I live in a smart city. What are you guys still living in your dumb cities over there with your cars and your food? In your homes with backyards? They envision surveillance cities policed by artificial intelligence and drones, like RoboCop style. If you remember the scene in RoboCop in the boardroom, things got a little crazy and he wound up shooting up everybody in the boardroom. So you think you have a hard time in Australia right now trying to deal with unreasonable asshole cops that show up at your house because of a Facebook post and want to drag you out and arrest you and try dealing with a robot. try dealing with the fact that there's a drone over your house that's watching you, and artificial intelligence is talking to the drone, you violated some law, and they turn your power off in the winter. You know, these aren't smart cities. These are internment camps. And they talk about that. So this fourth industrial revolution, the technology component, is being run by Isabel Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's sister. Think about this. You wonder, who's in charge of this? What, where are they going with it? Is it going to be good or bad? Well, let me give you just a little hint as to whether or not it's going to be good or bad. Isabel Maxwell's in charge of the technology component of it. Does that answer your question? We're talking about someone from the one of the worst families in the world. This is their dream. And this fourth industrial revolution is part of the sales pitch. It's the, you see, they've always wanted this, but the technology was never available for them to lock us all down. You know, if the Stalins and Hitlers or whatever, you know, the Pol Pots of the world or the Maos had had this technology at their fingertips before, they would have been doing the same thing that these people are doing. In fact, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forums, I talked about this in a previous episode, they have their roots in Nazi Germany. This is the Fourth Reich. This is the Fourth Reich that Jim Mars talked about. You know, this is it. It's in this fourth industrial revolution, you own nothing. Self-driving cars. Oh, that's convenient. Well, at least I don't have to drive, right? I can like text and chat and do everything. Yeah, you know what else you can't, you don't have to do anymore? You don't get to go where you want to go because the self-driving cars won't get you there. If you want to leave this smart city in your car, you can't. There, you don't have a car. You have a self-driving car, and it's programmed not to let you go there. So you can't go there. So now you're stuck. Maybe you can. Maybe you can leave if your social credit score is high enough. Mine won't be. I know that for a fact. So it's the fourth industrial revolution is bringing together physical, biological, and digital systems for total control. That's what they're trying to do. It's all about control. I wrote a book called The Octopus of Global Control. This is what I'm talking about. It is a prison. It's a prison planet. It's a prison planet. They're coming to get us. It is, though. It's the dream they have for it. The sales pitch is not that. The sales pitch is amazing. The sales pitch is you don't have to worry about all these other things and you're saving the planet. They're not saving the planet. They're enslaving the planet. And how do they do that? Well, there's a variety of ways. But if you think that this coronavirus pandemic, air quotes, is going away, well, it's not. Because what they've done is they have touched on something that they've now discovered is very effective as a tool for controlling people. But this didn't just come along in 2020. This had been talked about. It had been role played. They had had all kinds of simulations working on things like that. Read Whitney Webb's work on Dark Winter from 2001. Thomas Inglesby, Tara O'Toole that were involved in that are the same people that are involved in Event 201. Where they're running simulations about outbreaks and things like that, and how the government has to step in and get control, and they have to get control by removing your freedoms and putting, you know, and slapping all these restrictions on it. How many of these things do we have to see? Lockstep by the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010. Go look up Lockstep. Go read that. And you tell me, are they psychic? Did they just happen to simulate the world that we're currently living in? What a surprise. I mean, once again, these people, they're very good. They're very good at what they do. They're magical, in fact. You can look at things like Crimson Contagion, that exercise that ran in 2019. Event 201, we just talked about that. Claude X, 2018. EU vaccination roadmap. The International Health Regulations in 2005. They've been planning for these crises for a long, long time. With outbreak simulations, you've got predictive programming in movies and television shows, Walking Dead. I mean, you know, it's kind of in your face. They role play these things and then they make them happen as exactly as they were role played. You've got to look at some of there's partnerships. Now, it's not to say that the government is doing all of this. They're not. It's not all the government. It's actually a combo. It's government and big business working together. It's the people that show up at Bilderberg. It's the Davos crowd, of course. It's Council on Foreign Relations, German Marshall Fund, Atlantic Council. These groups where they get together and bring in sort of a hybrid between public and private and talk about where the world is going and how we can work together. Some might call that fascism. Fascism is the blending of the state with big corporations to benefit the state. Corporatism is the blending of the government and big corporations to benefit the big corporations. So is it fascism or corporatism? It's a little both, actually. I mean, it's benefiting both of them because the state benefits and the big businesses benefit by the state creating these insane lockdowns and destroying small and medium-sized businesses that compete with them. So they're all benefiting here. And where is it heading? And what are the tools that they're going to use to drive us into this new world order, this fourth industrial revolution? Well, I'll tell you one. And it's very dangerous, and that's the vaccines. It's 100% real. It's coming your way. It's being talked about all over the mainstream media, big pharma. It's this unbelievably deceptive sales pitch that once we get the vaccine, then everything will go back to normal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that is not happening. There's no going back to normal. The best we can do is hope that it doesn't get any worse than what we've got right now. That should be our priority, to stop it before it gets any worse than where we're going. The vaccines are a trap. I've done, I don't know how many episodes on vaccines or how many times I've talked about it on other people's shows. If you are unfamiliar with the vaccine component of this, I would suggest go back through some of my previous episodes and try and find it. I'm not going to do a deep dive on vaccines right now, except to say that they're loaded with all sorts of unspeakable things that are very dangerous and have always been very dangerous. But what they're doing now is the science, as I said, has caught up. And the ability to control people. We don't know what's going in these vaccines for certain. We do have some ideas of the patents that have gone in, you know, that we've looked at, nanotechnology patented by guys, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Google, you know, big tech, you know, the people you'd trust to inject particles into your body and who knows what. The CDC currently recommends a regimen of 62 vaccines by the time a child reaches 18 years old, 41 of those shots before the child's two. This is insanity. This is a depopulation agenda. And I know that a lot of people say, well, vaccines cured polio and everything. They did not. Polio was on its way out as this vaccine was being released. Dig into that. There's a lot of misconceptions about how vaccine eradicated polio. My grandmother had polio. It didn't eradicate polio. It's still there. Okay. Let's just be honest with it. They changed the name. They changed the name of it. Non-flaccid myelitis and things like that. They just rebranded it. Oh, look, polio disappeared. Oh, but what about this new stuff? Oh, that has the exact same outcome as polio. Well, we don't talk about that. So the COVID-19 vaccine is being rushed to market by all of these companies that are saying, oh, it's 90% effective. Like I said, you got to dig into the history of vaccines to understand that every one of these big pharma companies are convicted felons. They've all been found guilty in court of law of multiple felonies. They have all paid collectively hundreds of billions of dollars in fines for their behavior. From the minor things like price fixing and lying on your marketing, which is bad, but not bad enough, to the intentional destruction of people's health through asbestos in talcum powder that went on for 60 years, and thalidomide, and you name it, you know, DDT, Agent Orange, Thimerosal, Vioxx. I mean, Big Pharma's role, Big Pharma are serial killers. And yet they people don't have that association in their head because the media works to prop them up. And the government sanctions this through the FDA and the CDC and these groups that say, oh, well, we're watchdog agencies, we're regulatory agencies. Let me remind you, the CDC makes over $5 billion a year off of the patents that they own on vaccines. They are a vaccine company masquerading as a regulatory agency, okay? They set the vaccine schedule, and guess who profits from it? They do, in conjunction with Big Pharma, which is why you have a revolving door between the CDC, the FDA, and all these big pharma companies. People just go back and forth and back and forth. They get very rich doing this. Paul Offit, that guy who you've seen talking about vaccines and vaccines, this and that. Paul Offit sold his rotavirus vaccine and made $186 million from it. Okay. He described it as winning the lottery. Lottery for him, Russian roulette for kids. He doesn't care. So we have to be very careful who we listen to. The vaccine component of this is devious and it's not going away. But there's another part that is at play for this new world order, and that is the surveillance state. And man, if you're not aware of the surveillance state right now and where it's going and the things that they're doing, once again, look at Shenzhen, China, and their, the facial recognition cameras that they've put in there. I've told these stories before about how they are tied into the social credit system and how they're watching everything that you do, reporting back, fed by AI into the system, matching it to your face, issuing you fines remotely that are going to your cell phone, you know, for smoking on a bus or something like that. So this is the surveillance state is devious, and it's not even in the, this is the second inning of this game, baseball terms. There's 9 innings in the game, by the way. So it's early on and it's already terrifying. Extrapolate out where you think it's going. Drones, smart thermostats. Get on the wrong side of your government, they turn your thermostat off. Well, the Russians are going to freeze us out, Rachel Maddow says. The Russians are going to turn off our power in the winter and kill everybody. No, no, no. Your own government is going to do that to you. You don't need the Russians to do it. You get on the wrong side with your local government or state or world government, and you're in a smart city in New York City, the end of January, when it's freezing ass cold, and they decide, oh, you're posting that on social media about the government? Okay, you violated code so-and-so, blah, 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 and we're turning your power off, and we're turning your heat off. Like, you have to kind of allow your mind to go to these places. Tracking devices in the surveillance state? Yeah, in the vaccines. Now they know where you are. Now they know what you're putting into your body. This is part of it. Censorship plays into this surveillance state too. Outright censorship, what we have right now, YouTube deleting videos, Facebook and Twitter deleting accounts, that's censorship. Easy to quantify. I had a channel, it went away. I had this many videos, this many subscribers. Those people can no longer find me. That's censorship. How do you quantify self-censorship? When you know you can't post, I'm going to throw Bill Gates into a volcano for fear that you're going to lose your account. So you don't post it, even though you really want to. How do you measure that? You can't. It's impossible. But it's there, and it's a part of this. So in this 360-degree control grid, censorship plays a big part in this. Fact-checked, demonetized, age-restricted, shadow banned, deleted outright. We're seeing it already. We're seeing this happen already. And where is it leading to? Well, it's leading to, you know, it comprises the mainstream media as a part of this. They're involved in the censorship. They are part of the Atlantic Council, part of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the German Marshall Fund and the Poynter Institute. And Bilderberg, of course. They get the big tech companies together that all sit at the table. Corporate mainstream media, they're all there as well. And they plot out how they're going to prop up the mainstream media by doing a couple things. They're going to eliminate the alternative media, control, alt, delete. I put that in the new book. They want to control you. They want to control the alternative media and delete it. So they're doing that. But they're also doing something else. They're promoting mainstream media voices on platforms like YouTube. I have never watched MSNBC, CNN, or Fox News on YouTube ever once in my life. I'm positive. Yet, I keep getting suggestions for it. And I click out. There's a little box where it's like, not interested. I do that every single time. Not that it works, but I just do it to see if it makes a difference. It does not. I keep getting suggested. Oh, you watch that video. You might like this video from Rachel Maddow. What the fuck makes you think I would like a video from Rachel Maddow? What in my browsing history leads you to that conclusion? Nothing. It's just being forced on you. The mainstream media is a huge component of this. Well, let me rephrase that. The mainstream media is currently a huge portion of this. But as they continually get busted lying, it is becoming increasingly more difficult for them to keep their control of their audience. So they're doing it differently. They're having to go into the online world and create a version, an echo chamber, mainstream media echo chamber there. Since they're getting beat on cable TV badly, they're now just deciding that if we can't beat them, let's destroy them. If we can't beat our competition online, the alternative media that's eating the mainstream media's lunch, we're just going to ban them. We're going to get rid of the Dan Dixes of the world. You know, we're going to get rid of the people that are doing accurate and honest reporting on the events. We're going to make sure those people are gone. We're going to bring in the Chris Cuomos and Anderson Coopers and the Rachel Maddows and the Brett Bears with his fucking wig that I'm still hung up on and will always be hung up on. The response on Twitter from my comment from the last episode on that. It's pretty funny. but they're a part of this. They need them to be the to create the echo chamber where it seems like everywhere I go, everybody's talking about people dying from COVID, you know? Even though I walk out the street, I don't know anybody that's died from it. I know one person that had it. She's fine. But when you turn on Fox and they're talking about deaths, and then you turn, or cases, actually, not just talking about cases. Or, and then you turn on CNN and they're talking about cases. You turn on MSNBC, they're talking about, and then you read, you go online, you find Washington Post, they're talking about cases. Jesus Christ, it must be cases everywhere. Except that it's all coming from the same source, which is the mainstream media. And so all they have to do is make the decision that from now on, starting today, we are going to hammer home the cases. Cases are going up. Oh my God. And they create this version of reality. So part of this move into this new world order is predicated on them shaping a dystopian version of this current reality to make you want to accept this new sales pitch that they've got, this fourth industrial revolution, this great reset that they have coming. And they've done, part of what they've done is to use their resources in the mainstream media and in Hollywood to predictively program us. It's a term that people are now starting to catch on, predictive programming. It's kind of like a mind control campaign. If you think about it, it's, you know, putting out movies like Outbreak and Hunger Games and Minority Report and, you know, Walking Dead and, you know, all 93 Day, all these like dystopian versions of humanity that you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy, man. That looks terrible. I'm glad we're not living in that. But then as we start to get a little closer and they start to roll out things that look like that, it's not as foreign to your brain as it would have been if you hadn't seen the movies about these sorts of things. You're sort of prepped for it. That's not to say that you're excited for it. It's just that you now acknowledge that this is a possibility. And then, because it's all theoretical when you're watching the movie, when you're watching Minority Report in 2002 and it's about 2052 and you're going, holy shit, this is crazy, man. This is what the future looks like. Well, in 2020, so many of the things that were, you know, a component of the Minority Report that were in the future are already, have already happened or current, you know? So it's like the future is now in some senses. So, the predictive programming component to this has been very useful. I mean, it's not just limited to Hollywood. Video games are involved in it. You know, there's, you know, Call of Duties and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, video games that are getting you prepped for zombies and, you know, and things like that. It's a 360 degree attempt to control humanity. Predictive programming, mainstream media, you know, censorship, both overt and covert censorship through a massive surveillance state, and then a medical, you know, medical partnerships with Big Pharma, which control you through vaccines, Big Pharma and Big Tech merging together. It's pushing pandemics, be they real or imagined or somewhere in between. It's this fourth industrial revolution that's using, you know, that's being brought forth by the World Economic Forum. And they're using things like, you know, climate change and Agenda 21 and all of these things to kind of get you prepped for this new version of reality. And we are walking into it. Hell, we're sprinting into it enthusiastically. So people, you know, like, what difference does it make if you're wearing a mask, if someone's wearing a mask? Look, it's symbolic. It is you are letting them know by wearing your mask while you're driving in your car all by yourself. You are letting them know that you are scared. You are letting them know that you are compliant. You are letting them know that you are a good little soldier who will do exactly what you're told. You are letting them know that you have done zero critical thinking about this. You're letting them know that you will play the game. And the more they see people wearing masks, the more comfortable they will feel that their plan is working. And conversely, the more they see you without your masks on, the more uncomfortable they're going to get. So take your masks off. They don't work. It says it on the side of the box that they don't work. If you're wearing a bandana over your face, you need to have your head examined. It's a joke, okay? Clearly. Have the conversations. Look, I've said this many, many times before. I take no pleasure in this analysis of where we are and what we've got and where we're going. I don't like this. I want this all to change, but the time for the conversation is now, before it gets any worse, because it's going in that direction. And this is global. If you think you're going to be able to hide in Costa Rica or, you know, someplace that's sort of off the beaten path, you're fooling yourself. This is a global plan. But we have the ability to change this. We have to get real honest with ourselves, though. There are a lot of stupid people that are holding us back in this world, okay? There's a lot of very compliant people, and people make poor decisions when they're scared. One of the most important things we can do, spreading this information forward, is to remind people, don't come at this from a place of fear, okay? This stuff can be scary, and you can be fearful of it. But acknowledge it, understand what the plan is, don't be scared of it, and then set out to go about and trying to change it and talk to your friends and family. Because fear is the enemy here. Fear puts you in a low vibrational state where you're easily controlled, where you're doing things like wearing two masks and a hazmat suit just to go to the grocery store because you're afraid of a virus with a 99.74% survival rate and a median death age of 80 years old, okay? Stop being a pussy. Wake up to what's going on. Turn your mainstream media off. Take your masks off. Go outside and live your life like a free and normal human being. Thanks, everybody. If you like this show, if you like this episode, please spread the word. The New World Order will not allow this to be shared organically, so it's going to be up to you. It's not, the algorithms will hate it. We won't be getting any love from them. If you guys want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And my social media, you can find me on Twitter at macroaggressions, Facebook.com/theoctopusofglobalcontrol. I make no representations about how long I will be on these platforms. They hate my guts. The feeling is mutual. I use them to spread this show around. And I thank you guys all for your support. Take care.